As students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest and most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all of these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. In addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from the folks at Hillsdale is through Imprimis, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. You can sign up for free at this special website for a limited time at dana4hillsdale.com. And you can look forward to Imprimis each month. It's interesting, useful, and free, and it's one of the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale College and sign up for Imprimis at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
Who were wiring the money, a lot of those people aren't the most credible people in their countries. There are a lot of people who are in a lot of trouble in many of these countries who were sending wires to the Biden family. They needed help. They needed help from the government. That's why they paid the Biden family. They were influence peddling. And what Jim Jordan just mentioned, the FARA violation, that's Foreign Agents Registration Act, we know that Hunter Biden has violated that. Even the judge in Delaware last week cited that as one reason why she rejected the sweetheart plea deal. But what this did today, in my opinion, is open the door. Did Joe Biden violate the Foreign Agents Registration Act? Because he was an active participant in at least one deal we know of with the Burisma deal. He was actively participating in doing a benefit to this foreign agent for this foreign country, and he was withholding American tax dollars in the form of foreign aid for that. I mean, this is very serious. Today took a huge step towards implicating Joe Biden in many of these crimes. We're going to continue to press forward in our investigation.
So that is just some of the revelations that came up from this hearing. Well, it was a closed door, you know, Q&A, but I mean, technically it was kind of, you know, like a hearing, I mean, essentially, with Devin Archer, the business partner of Hunter Biden yesterday. And a lot of stuff came out in that. Welcome to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you. And you can listen across the country. You can stream the radio program as well. Anywhere you can stream any kind of audibles. And you can also find us YouTube, Facebook, channel 347, DirecTV for the simulcast of the radio program. So this, I mean, I don't know how you can have gone through, and I know we're all awaiting the transcript for this, because I think the transcript comes out probably, at the end of the week for this Q&A. And while we're all waiting for the transcript of this, I mean, just from what we know, there is no other, I think, conclusion to come up with other than Joe Biden lied to everybody when he was saying that he wasn't aware of all this stuff. And I know everybody's been talking about it. Lorraine has a post up over on the newsletter Substack chapter and verse that went out this morning. One of the big takeaways, though, was one of the meetings that Biden was at, apparently, and I'm sure you guys, because this is one of the things that came out, one of the meetings that he was at, apparently one of the Russian individuals that is being investigated by the Department of, that our country is investigating, apparently this individual was like there at that meeting with Joe Biden. Very interesting. He's been what, I mean, how many different phone calls? 20 dinners, something like that? I mean, tons of stuff. He was there for all of it. And that is remarkably different from what he told everybody when he said that, no, he had not been meeting with them. He hadn't spoken to their any of his business partners. He hadn't spoken to any of his business clients, any of his clients, none of those. He denied all of it. And then now what comes out, I mean, we kind of all knew that he spoke with those contacts, those clients, those business partners repeatedly. And I thought his I think it was incredibly damning. Democrats are desperately trying to play it down because they need to play it down because it's incredibly compromising for Joe Biden. I mean, he was saying that the value of adding Hunter Biden to the Burisma board, that the value was the brand. I can't even believe we're talking about like the Biden brand. That's just, they're the, yeah, I mean, they, well, at least the Kardashians are some, I mean, they're successful, right? I mean, they at least come up with ideas. You can get mad at me for saying it, but at least they're whacked out, but at least they come up with ideas on their own and they make their own money. I mean, the Bidens don't come up with anything. They just peddle influence. That's all they do. They haven't come up with an idea. They didn't come up with a makeup. They didn't do anything like that. So in some ways, they're like the great value version of the Kardashians for politics. But Archer was testifying that the value of adding Hunter Biden to the board was the brand. And he said that that VP Biden was the brand, and that the phone calls that they had, the over 20 some odd, I don't even know, phone calls were to sell the brand. And Archer even admitted that if Burisma had not had the protection of Joe Biden, that they would have gone out of business. That was his direct quote. And remember, too, he had said that, I think it was, I mean, he said it, and he said it publicly. Do you remember the, and I know there's video of it. Do you remember the when he was sitting on stage, what was it? It was some kind of like symposium. And he and Joe Biden was speaking, and he was bragging about having gotten that Kashenko, Shokin, the Ukrainian prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, he was bragging about getting that guy fired. This was after all of that happened, because apparently, you know, Hunter, per Devin Archer, tells Joe Biden, we got to do something. We have to help this out. We got to fix this. And so like 3 days later, Joe Biden gets on a plane and flies over to Ukraine. And then this guy is Stinney's gets fired. And then they were actually talking about withholding aid from this. Play this video. This is like a minute. This is literally like after this. It was Council of Foreign Relations. He's admitting it on stage. Watch this.
I remember going over convincing our team, our others, to convincing that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. I said, I'm not going to, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours. I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch, got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Well, Kane, what did they remember the thing with Ukraine that they were trying to?
Yeah. I think they called it a quid pro quo.
Uh-huh. So just to set the table again, right after he gets involved with this whole situation with this prosecutor and Burisma, the prosecutor's investigating Burisma, Hunter Biden's on the board, then very recently after it, he goes and brags about it. How is that not quid pro quo? I mean, this is what I'm talking about, the miscarriage of justice or the two tiers. Because he was talking about withholding aid. That's the very thing that they were accusing Trump of doing, which he actually didn't do, if we want to have that conversation. So this, and then additionally to this, there's so much that came out of this. The dinner, I'm pulling this up too. So the dinner that, one of the dinners that he attended was the dinner at which they had this Russian lady that they were investigating. My gosh, this is like coming all back. I mean, this is literally legit, like all the stuff that they said about Trump. Every bit of it. It's wild to me. I mean, they said that it was that he hadn't talked to the business associates. Then it came out that he was at this dang dinner with this lady this Russian lady that they were actually, who worked with Burisma, worked with different Ukrainian companies, et cetera, et cetera. And that Joe Biden was just at this dinner with her. Really, I mean, this is some stunning stuff, guys. All of this that came out yesterday. So why? You have Democrats that are acting like it was a nothing burger. They're saying that, oh, there wasn't anything. Nothing big that came out of these hearings. There was nothing important that came out of these hearings. I mean, they said, no, Joe never talked to his son about the business dealings. Okay, well, Joe's never actually spoken to the business partners. Okay, well, you know, maybe you don't have proof of it. And then all this stuff comes out. I mean, yes, you can tell why there's exactly enough evidence for an impeachment inquiry. I mean, there's no way around it. This was, and no matter what Democrats say, it was incredibly significant. I mean, comparing this to, you know, the just Trump talking to Ukraine and the perfect phone call. I mean, it's not even comparable. I mean, Joe bragged on camera about withholding aid and using intervention, using actually the levers of his office to punish people. Yeah, he wouldn't sanction. I mean, there's a million things. We're going to get into a lot more of this, too, because there's so much to get into. And then the media, the White House is pushing them very, very hard so that they can, they have to cover for this. They have to downplay it. They have to make it look like, you know, it was nothing. It was just a discussion about the weather. I mean, how ignorant would it have been for Joe Biden to ignore his son's friends? It's so mean. His baby infant son, he was at his playgroup, and how mean would it have been if Joe Biden had ignored all the other baby infant business partners at baby infant Hunter's little playgroup, right? Because he's baby infant Hunter. I feel like this is like an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. This is baby infant Hunter, you know, 50 something year old, just goo goo gaga baby Hunter. I've got a lot of questions. A million of them. Okay, so we got more on that. We're going to come back to it. Because now we also have the Florida governor sent a letter to Kamala Harris inviting her to come to Florida and actually talk with the scholars and civil rights activists that were recrafting the standards for Florida education. Although a lot of, you know, the one standard that she was trying to make a big deal of is literally the AP standard, and it's in every other state. But see, not every other state's governor is running for president. So DeSantis sent a letter yesterday inviting her to come out and just, you know, meet with these scholars, have a discussion with them. Have, you know, if you have any questions, if you're concerned, then, you know, maybe, you know, they can answer them. You would have thought, too, that before Kamala Harris got on a taxpayer funded plane to go to Florida, I mean, the smart person would have said, maybe, you know, since I'm getting on a taxpayer funded plane and flying to Florida, maybe I'll reach out to the lawmakers there and the people who crafted the thing I'm about to bitch about. Maybe I'll reach out to them. And while I'm there, you know, have a conversation with them about it. But she didn't do that because she wanted a grandstand. This is such stupid theater. You know what? I've seen better concerts at the mall. When I was a kid, remember, I was like in elementary school. Tiffany went around and was like playing all the malls. Remember that? Mm-hmm. It was so crazy. The closest I could get was the Claire's Boutique at South County because I was like really far away. Like it was like really packed. It was a Saturday. But that was a better show than what Kamala Harris put on, I got to say. So he sends out this letter to her. And so far, she hasn't responded. I would just think, one would think, that she would take it seriously. Some people who are not, I got to have an uncomfortable conversation here coming up. Also, I want to tell you too, I'm going to touch on some of the stupider stuff with the primary, but I'm not going to obsess over it because did you notice yesterday all this stuff was going on with Devin Archer and what was everybody talking about? Polling and Florida. I'm done with it. Do not play into that game. So I'm going to touch on the stupid stuff, the people who are helping to promote this nonsense. And then we're going to focus on what you should actually be focused on because it's more important. Every day we hear about another familiar brand undermining their customers and going, quote, woke. Americans are sick and tired of having far-left propaganda jammed into every product they consume. And for years, they've dumped millions into far-left causes, and everybody had to kind of take it because you needed a cell phone and probably thought that there was no alternative. Well, there is, and that's Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offering dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to in your area, minus the far-left propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military, veterans, and first responders. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code Dana and ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. Get the same dependable service and take a stand for your values. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Are you considered to be in Generation X? New reports show that Generation X is not saved for retirement. In this age of social media, do you own your own stuff or does your stuff own you? Is it time to start making some financial changes to reduce your expenses? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Confidence in U.S. military. I would say that this is military leadership. I think that this Gallup headline is incredibly misleading. Anyway, it says confidence in U.S. military lowest in over two decades. Americans are now less likely to express a great deal of confidence in, I would say, military leadership again, with noticeable decline that's persisted for the past 5 years. It's from a Gallup poll June 1st through the 22nd, and it also captured record lows in public confidence in several public institutions. Also known as today and Mexico is warning tourists about travel to Washington, D.C. Mexico is saying that it's the crime surge. It's too dangerous. The Mexican consulate in D.C. urged Mexican nationals living around the capital to be cautious as crime rates in the city continue to rise. So, Kane, like half of you, it's too dangerous for half of you in D.C. So, Steve, you're okay. But Kane, no, it's too dangerous for you. Yeah. They said that the statement that they put out, it was a tweet posted by their D.C. consulate. This is such theater. They say, attention Mexican community, the city of Washington, D.C. is experiencing a significant increase in crime in areas previously considered safe. I mean, when you read that, you're like, okay, is it just for the Mexican community? Like, what's that? What is that for? It's just so ridiculous. Everybody could get carjacked or shot. I mean, come on. You know, it's equal opportunity crime here. The Actors Union allowing movies with stars to film during the strike. Sarah Silverman, who I think is ridiculous and I don't like her. She's mad. Nobody cares. Move on. Let's see. I don't like her because one time she tried coming at me for a made up tweet. And I was just like, that's really, I thought you were a lot smarter than this. My bad. Look, I finally made a mistake in my completely mistakeless existence. And red states are accelerating the push for no income tax. This is how you make me your best friend for forever. Texas is doing it. Florida is doing it. Now you got Virginia doing it. Oh my gosh. Stay with us. We got a lot more on the way, including some culture. Doc Martens went woke, guys.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
So Goldman sort of explaining that Archer qualified the topics of discussion on these phone calls as niceties that Biden sometimes didn't even know who was on the other line with his son Hunter.
Nobody
and, you know, sources
that.
In the room telling CNN now that Archer did not point the finger directly at any sort of a connection between Joe Biden and his son's foreign business dealings, and rather, you know, said that he was, that Hunter Biden was selling the illusion of said access. Boris?
Really a stunning development, Zach, when you consider that.
No one believes that. That's so stupid. Welcome back to the show. That's so dumb. It's so dumb. It just makes me want to be violent. I choose violence. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. The illusion of access, huh? I share something with y'all. This was an email sent August 1st, 2017 from James B. Biden Sr. You know, the Biden brand. They really do think they're the Kennedys. Man, they are so high on their own farts. I can't. These people love themselves. So James B. Biden Sr. writes to the Qatar Investment Authority. It says, quote, thank you for the communication with my friend and associate, Dr. Redacted, regarding the recent visit of His Excellency Redacted to the United States and his vision to promote the business interests of the nation of Qatar. He says, I would be honored to assist in effectuating the vision, His Excellency, vision of His Excellency, but would be remiss in not pointing out the fractured nature of our current administration. Now, again, this is 2017. He says, my family could provide a wealth of introductions and business opportunities at the highest levels that I believe would be worthy of the interest of His Excellency. Now he tries to cover his butt and say, we are not, however, lobbyists and do not operate in that arena. Our relationships are deep and wide and have lasted through many years, blah, 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 blah. He says, if this is in keeping with the vision of His Excellency on behalf of the Biden family, I welcome your interest here. Selling the illusion of access. Just an illusion. Yeah, I was told that that was only an illusion, that that wasn't anything real. What are you talking about? It's just an illusion of access. No, no, no. It seems providing a wealth of introductions and business opportunities came. That seems like real.
Yeah. Less illusion, more real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's like, yeah, that's like what we would call a real thing. So, interesting. So that's the email, one of the emails that Biden Sr. sent to Qatar. Sounds like they were really doing everything they could to merch it out, right? I love this whole, no, no, no. They never heard Biden discussing any business in the calls, except literally Burisma and Hunter Biden called D.C. about Viktor Shokin. In December of 2015... Mykola Zolochevsky, the owner of Burisma, and Vadim Pozharsky, an executive of Burisma, placed constant pressure on Hunter Biden to get help from D.C. regarding the Ukrainian prosecutor Viktor Shokin. Shokin was investigating Burisma for corruption. Hunter Biden, along with Zolochevsky and Pozharsky, called D.C. to discuss the matter. Now, Biden, Zolochevsky, and Pozharsky, they stepped away to make the call. And they said that that raises concerns that Biden was in violation of FARA, the Foreign Agents Registration Act, which, yeah, I mean, Archer testified, he's under oath, that it that Burisma was pressuring Hunter and Joe to shut down Shokin. We know that it happened because Biden bragged about it, and Joe got a $1 billion loan. He got $1 billion from taxpayers to use as leverage. He used aid as leverage, $1 billion, a U.S. taxpayer $1 billion loan guarantee. So that is because, remember, you also had Zolochevsky, who said that they sent bribe money to the Bidens. And then it was the, you know, that woman that I was telling you about that Joe Biden apparently had dinner with. Well, I was at a dinner at which she attended, and it was Elena Batarina. So they said that she sent, apparently, Hunter, $3.5 million shortly after meeting with Joe and Hunter in 2014. And she was at this meeting, and Elena Batarina the mayor of, the wife of the mayor of Moscow, she somehow, I don't know, avoided sanctions. And she apparently was under investigation. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff here. I don't know how anyone can say that. I mean, this is just, this is crazy. So Biden literally told Ukraine to fire Viktor Shokin and threatened that the country would lose $1 billion in U.S. aid. And Trump told Ukraine, why don't you look into why Shokin got fired and what Biden's role was in it? And yet one of them, they went after one of them. That sparked an impeachment. It was Trump telling Ukraine, look into why Shokin got fired and Biden's role in it. That Democrats said, oh, we got to impeach him now. They did that to cover Biden's ass. And then Biden was the one who said, fire Shokin or I'm going to withhold $1 billion from you in USAID. You tell me why that one's not impeachment worthy, but asking if there was criminality involved, why that one is. I mean, we know the answer. It's because all these people are working together in concert to protect Democrats, not just really Biden. I think Democrats really stepped into it with the Bidens. I think that's one of the reasons why they didn't want them, because, I mean, they have so much baggage. But they also don't have anybody else. So, I mean, it is really amazing. I don't know of anybody who ever leveraged $1 billion in taxpayer-funded U.S. aid to use as a cudgel in pressuring Ukraine or any country to fire the prosecutor investigating their son's company. And yet, that doesn't spark an impeachment. Pretty amazing. Amazing. And then he's stupid enough. Biden is so damn dumb. Goes on television and brags about it. Sits there. Foreign counsel relations meeting. And brags about having done it. I mean, they are really the dumbest family. I mean, it takes every Democrat on hand to cover for this family and run defense. All of his administration has been running defense for all the stupid stuff he and his family do. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I was like actually a teenager when this all came in. Do you remember everything that everybody said about Bill Clinton's, his brother and then Hillary Clinton's brother and they made fun of him and all this stuff? This is worse. This is so cringe. You know what's also cringe? Okay, so Doc Martens, my little inner goth kid's crying right now. So Doc Martens, yes, the 80s boot and 90s boot, 90s kid, 90s boot. They're facing criticism for promoting boots with unnecessary mastectomy scars. Meaning people who just wanted to cut their boobs off because they wanted to be a dude. And, you know, just cutting your boobs off immediately grows you a penis. I don't know if you knew that or not, but apparently I'm under the weather, so I'll say whatever the hell I want. Growing your boobs, cutting them off apparently grows you. You know, you get a polyp and apparently that grows into a full grown penis. Who knows? Wow. It's magic, Kane. You didn't know that? That's the science behind the trans activism. You didn't know it? No, so anyway, these god-awful looking boots. I hate platforms because platforms make you look like a Clydesdale. No one looks good in platforms. I see these shoes out. Even in the 90s, I thought they were stupid. Remember, ladies, you'll remember this. You 90s ladies out there. Dude, you might remember your sisters, maybe your moms or your girlfriends wearing the black Steve Madden platform slide sandals. I don't know how many girls twisted their ankles on those stupid things. Everybody had them. So I just had regular flat Doc Martens. I didn't have the platform because you look like a Clydesdale. You look ridiculous. Stop it. It's one of the worst things. And kids today are trying to bring it back. Learn from our mistakes. Anyway, so Doc Martens, they're coming. They decided to have, they had a topless cartoon person that has scars under where the breasts would be. It's like, you know, that's their breast removal surgery. And it's a part of a promotional stunt. They gave away a pair of these like custom rainbow colored boots, alphabet friendly boots. Okay, explain to me what alphabet friendly boots mean. Like, you have sex a certain way. What do the boots do to help you with that? Like, when you're talking about, can we talk about how stupid the language is and the identity and all this other ridiculous nonsense in American culture? What about the damn boots make it easier for your alphabet lifestyle? I like to put how I have sex on my shoes. That just makes you an oversharer. So they were designed by a self-described quote-unquote queer illustrator. They put them on the Instagram account, but people were mad because it said they were cashing in on the mutilation of women. And so people were saying, okay, we're going to boycott. Some said, oh, we're standing up for minorities. Okay, it's not a minority. Stop acting like it's in any way representative of even, it's the tiniest fraction of the world population. And even at that, this is like, when you're doing this, it's a mental illness. You can get mad at me. You can disagree with my opinion. I don't care. And these boots are just ugly. They're just ugly, right? I mean, at some point, you got to get out of the Lisa Frank aesthetic. I think we can all agree with this, right? You got to get out of the Lisa Frank aesthetic. Like how Forever 21 is not meant to be taken literally as a store. And then you'll see 50-year-old women in there. I don't get it. So they said that they put these shoes out. People are mad. There was a British coffee. Now, here's what's weird. So it's a pink topless person, clearly a chick that had her breasts removed. And they weren't the only one to use like almost this exact same thing. There's a British coffee maker. I didn't know, but apparently one of the biggest coffee chains in the UK is called Costa Coffee or Costa Coffee, C-O-S-T-A. I don't know. I don't care. It's their largest coffee chain. They apparently used a very similar drawing with the scars, this androgynous looking character with scars below each nipple. And they apparently put that on their stuff, all their marketing stuff. And so now people are like, you're trying to mainstream this unnecessary surgery, and you're targeting people who are unhappy with their bodies. I think it's a body shaming thing too. And people are wearing these unnecessary scars of mastectomies and like as a badge of honor or something. Which is true. Notice that they never did anything like this for breast cancer people. Anybody who had to have, you know, a mastectomy for breast cancer, they don't do it for that. Nope. No, but they'll do it for women who don't need it and they just want to identify as men. You want to talk about diminishing and kind of mocking? I just think that's if you want to have the discussion about what's offensive, that's actually offensive. Where now you have trans activists that are trying to even co-opt that. It's ridiculous. So now people in the United Kingdom are boycotting Costa Coffee because they say you are profiting off of this. And there is something to it. It is kind of disgusting to see these major companies roll out. They're totally silent on actual issues that affect women. But then they roll out all of this virtue signaling stuff. And it's, and to see this with Doc Martens, it's super sad. All right, Mark Hamill said that he is, nobody cares. Let me finish it. No. Do you even care?
Might as well.
Okay. So Mark Hamill says that he's refraining from tweeting today. I know you're. Is he that good of a voice actor? He can't act to save his life. If it's him in front of the camera, I mean, I would rather watch bread mold. He cannot act to save his life. And so I guess he does voice acting. And now he's enjoying this like new resurgence in popularity from kids who never saw him try to act before, like himself in front of a camera. And so now he's got this like cool cred and he's really like really feeling himself. Right. So he tweets that he's not tweeting. He and the whole world are not tweeting today. Tweetless Tuesday. He says, let's show the owner the power of the people. Would it kill you to keep your thoughts to yourself? Read a book. How lame are you that you spend so much of your time on social media that you think you have to announce it like it's a big deal if you go a day without posting on Twitter or X now? Really? That's kind of messed up, I think. He's actually Darth Vader. I don't know. That just makes people want to tweet more, I would think. Nobody's going to do this. And people who do this, nobody knows because nobody cares. You know why? Because it's stupid. There's enough dumb things in the world. People are like dealing with serious stuff right now. They don't care about some like 70-year-old actor who's bitching on Twitter. I'm not going to tweet because I don't like Elon Musk. Oh my gosh, seethe more. Nobody cares. All right, we can't stand these people. Kids, all the kids out there, the morons that you know as children, they never go away. They never grow out of it. They just grow up to be adult morons. That's all it is. That's all it is. And social media highlights it. It's salted caramel.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I've been traveling the country meeting with our young leaders who in particular are talking to me about the climate crisis. They turned me on to a term I'd not heard before. I said, tell me how you all are thinking about the climate crisis. And they shared with me a term, climate anxiety. They're concerned about their future.
Shut
in,
up.
In almost a doomsday.
Nobody has climate anxiety. It's the weather. I think if you have climate anxiety, your parents abused you when you were growing up and they brainwashed you into being terrified about the weather. I mean, it's cyclical. Remember how they were talking about how we were going to have a hot summer, like all the way back last year? We're going to have a hot summer because there's a solar flare and all this stuff. Remember all of that? And we're like, yeah, okay, we didn't really care because it was winter. Now it's summer and we're feeling it. But, you know, it has to do with the global warming. And all the people who are yelling the loudest about it are so, I mean, she has such climate anxiety herself that she hops on a taxpayer-funded plane to go down to Jacksonville and bitch about something she's never read before as it pertains to education. We're going to talk more about that. We got a lot more on the way. Second hour. Don't go anywhere.
Testified to yesterday, completely absolves Joe Biden of any involvement in Hunter Biden's business world. And notwithstanding whatever alleged smoke Chairman Comer says there is, the witness testimony was very clear that Joe Biden was not involved in any of their business dealings. Joe Biden got no benefit. Joe Biden did not change what? Any of his actions for the benefit of his son in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, nobody believes that. That's Representative Goldman who says, yeah, well, you know, Devin Archer's testimony, it just totally absolves him, absolves Biden of any involvement. They keep moving the goalposts. What was it yesterday? What did he say yesterday? He said that that when he was talking with Hunter's business partners, well, it was just because, yeah, he's talking about the weather. And he, and Kane, the only reason that, you know, he was still devastated from losing Bo. Anything they can throw out. Like, don't you criticize him because he was grieving. He was grieving, you horrible person. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here, top of the second hour. And he also said that, well, yeah, he went from, no, he didn't talk to them, to, okay, well, he did talk to them just to say hi. And then it was, okay, well, he said more than hi. He was talking about the weather. And then it was, well, okay, so he was like talking to them even maybe more about the weather because he was grieving for Bo, right? But then remember, like they never, audio soundbite 8, they never even talked so much as discussed business. This is the Biden montage on this. Listen.
Never discussed with my son or my brother or anyone else anything having to do with their businesses, period.
I did anything wrong, and I didn't realize he was on the board till after he'd been on the board, and at the same time, he has come forward and said it was a mistake on his part to be on the board.
I don't know what he was doing. I know he was on the board. I found out he was on the board after he was on the board. And that was it.
The fact is, I was unaware of his investments until it occurred, and I've never discussed what my son's business with him because I didn't want any conflict.
Well, I don't discuss business with my son. I didn't know that was the case.
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings.
I've never discussed my business or their business, my son's or daughter's.
But then, oh, well, you know, he just wanted to say hi, and he was grieving for Bo, and that's what it is. There's so many texts and emails that, and then the dinners. I mean, what do you do at dinner? He's at a dinner with these people. The New York Times, believe it or not, had this story. Biden spoke with Hunter Biden's associates repeatedly, said Devin Archer. And they wrote, this is the first sentence, quote, it has long been known that the elder Mr. Biden at times interacted with his son's business partners.
Long been known.
Long been known, Kane. It has long been known. Has it been? Because they denied it for like ever. If I didn't welcome you back, welcome back. Just the top of our second hour. Did I welcome people back? I don't remember. I'm like so into this, like the back and forth of it. I'm like, ugh. It's this. I don't think this is literally everything that Trump was indicted for doing. But there was never like any actual criminal charge. I made this point last night talking to my friend. I've known him for over a decade, Jesse Waters. Like Democrats ran this through. No, there's no charge. There's nothing. They just ran it through just so that they could have the optic of an impeachment and could say that they impeached. But they never had they never got a criminal charge. The other thing, too, is that, and there's a couple of good pieces on this, coupled with the fraud in the court, and then coupled with a number of things, including the money that came from these companies, and then you have this X amount going to, quote unquote, the big guy. There's a lot of discussions in a lot of these emails, and then I can't wait for the transcript, because apparently that came up, too, how much he was getting, etc. I mean, you knew that Biden was a beneficiary of this because he had said he never discussed. Well, he talked to his friends, his son's friends' business, but they didn't talk about the overseas business deals. They can't even keep their story straight. That was a back. I remember this because Jen Psaki was saying that they never talked about business. They can't even keep their story straight. And then there was also Tom Elliott, who does RCP, had Daniel Goldman, the guy that we just played, who was saying that it was a preposterous premise to say that Biden shouldn't be talking with his business associates. Well, wait a minute. You were saying, wait. How do you go from he didn't talk to them to, well, you can't say that he shouldn't talk to them. And then you start to very slowly move it. Well, okay, he said hi. How ignorant are you to not say hi to your son's business associates? Or, oh, well, okay, maybe they did talk a little bit about the weather. I mean, how ignorant are you to think that you're just going to brush off your son's business associates and not have like a little conversation with him? You see how this just keeps moving over and over again? But all of that's irrelevant because you have the president on tape literally saying that he did what he's being accused of doing. How is that not open and shut? Kane, that's literally what Trump was impeached for.
Yep.
I mean, literally what he was impeached for.
It's funny they're calling this the illusion when they were literally impeaching Trump over an actual illusion.
I mean, I had to take because I have a little bit of a summer cold, if you can't tell. My voice sounds actually really hardcore. I wish it'd stay like this. This is not an effect of my cold medication, right, Kane? I mean, we are reading all these things properly, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Because, wow.
I know. I almost want to drink some cold medicine myself.
Well, it feels like you have. You know what I mean? Like it's this is craziness. So that's, you know, this whole thing. I am just like, here's the story. I'm going to pull this up and then we're going to move because I got a million other things. That the Moscow mayor's wife, the $3.5 million, remember, she paid $3.5 million to Hunter Biden. And she is a Russian oligarch. Elena Baterina. She is the billionaire widow of Moscow's former mayor. So she gave $3.5 million to Hunter Biden's company. And her brother, Victor Baterin, told the Daily Mail, a British paper, that it was, quote, a payment to enter the American market. And this was before Devin Archer testified, like way before Devin Archer testified, that he told, that her brother told the Daily Mail that that was a payment to enter the American market. That was his direct quote. So then yesterday, Devin Archer testified that Hunter's financial relationship with Baterina was actually way more extensive. His company, Rosemont Realty, she invested $40 million into his company. So initially she gave him $3.5 million. Then after that, she invested $40 million into Hunter Biden's company. And the documents that all outlined the plan came, they showed that it was from her company, Inteco Management AG, based in Switzerland, owned by her. It is a plastics and construction behemoth that Daily Mail says made her the richest woman in Russia, one of the richest women in Russia. She has a current net worth of $1.5 billion, according to Forbes. So when Joe Biden was VP in 2014, that's when she wired to Hunter the $3.5 million. And it was done in a series of payments. Now, remember how we were talking about all the shell things? This was one of the things that kicked off the suspicious activity report with the banks. This is one of them. Because she wires him $3.5 million. This is also one of the things apparently he didn't claim and is part of the whole tax evasion thing. I'm just pause right here. I want you all out there listening or watching the simulcast. If you get $3.5 million, and it's, you know, even though his work is peddling influence, it's work related. What do you think is going to happen to you if you don't claim that with IRS and you're just a regular person? Be honest and you answer me what you think that's going to, what do you think is going to happen to you? Hmm? You're going to get the Hunter Biden treatment, right? Because you got that private citizen privilege, right? No, you don't think, yeah, that's right. You're going to be grabbing your ankles in a jail cell. That's what's going to happen. So that was in 2014. So the deal was negotiated. It was all done. In 2016, she establishes a U.S. office to oversee her investments. And then she invested another $10 million in some commercial buildings. All of this stuff that was happening with her and what she was sending to Rosemont Realty was flagged as suspicious activity reports that were filed with the U.S. Treasury Department. Again, this is just one of them. She hired a lawyer. They were trying to say that Hunter was not, he wasn't really involved in the day-to-day of Rosemont Seneca, et cetera, because Rosemont Realty is part of that. That's a lie. And here's the big thing. Devin Archer said that Joe Biden had dinner with Batarina in Georgetown before the $40 million investment. And she was also conveniently left off the administration sanction list. Let's go to audio soundbite 5. KJP was asked why Joe Biden didn't sanction Russian billionaire Elena Batarina, the same woman we're talking about. Listen.
Regarding Russia's sanctions, I'm wondering if you could share the reason why President Biden hasn't sanctioned the Russian billionaires Vladimir Yevtushenkov and Yelena Batarina. How is he handling the conflict of interest there, given his son was a business associate of these two people? And can you confirm that as sitting vice president, he dined with Batarina in Georgetown?
I'm just not speaking to anything that's related to his son from here. If you want to ask questions about Hunter Biden specifically, I would refer you to his family. And as it relates to any sanctions, I'm not speaking to individual persons that are from Russia.
It's not his son, though. He was asking about Joe Biden because Joe Biden was the one who was at dinner with her. Yeah. Joe Biden was the one who met her. And after dinner, that's conveniently when a $40 million payment went through. I mean, I think it's completely germane to the discussion. And if I was that reporter, I would have pressed her on it. We're not going to sit here and go, well, I'm not going to speak to that. They can't sit here and use Hunter as the veneer behind which to hide all of their nefarious activities. I mean, that just makes it even worse. Again, they impeached Trump for literally everything Biden's doing. I tell you what, this is one of the reasons why I get so mad when I see the right use the same tactics as the left to go after our same side. Because, you know, we all go out and we hardcore defend people against media malpractice and against the shady government stuff and all that, which is why, you know, I'm starting to think twice about defending some people on the right from media malpractice, because I see them using the same tactics that they used to, and they would try to raise money off of, by the way, from you. They claim that they hate it. Now they're all about using it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, this vegan raw food diet influencer, I hate the word influencer. Her name is Zanna Dart. Apparently died of starvation. She died of starvation. She has subsisted exclusively on a diet of exotic fruit in Malaysia, according to her friends and family, 39 years old. She promoted raw foods on social media, and she apparently finally sought out medical treatment during a tour in Southeast Asia. And they said that she had swollen legs and everything else. And they said that she, like, they were trying to get her to seek treatment. I mean, she looked too thin. She looked way too thin. I mean, you don't want to ever be too thin, because that's also not healthy. And she just didn't look healthy at all. And so, I mean, she looked malnourished, and turns out she was. Who knew? That's sad. That's incredibly sad. I mean, it was totally avoidable. Also, this Commerce Secretary, the U.S. Commerce Secretary, is planning a trip in August, later this month, to China as tensions over tech controls simmer. She would be the fourth highest U.S. envoy, highest level since June. And that comes after Biden is set to sign some order curbing, we'll see, investments. So we'll see how that goes. Oh my gosh, this is horrible. A woman slipped and plunged to her death off a cliff literally a moment after her boyfriend proposed. This was in Turkey. Right after her husband popped the question, her husband-to-be. They were going to celebrate it and have a sunset picnic, and the 39-year-old fell over 100 feet off of a steep cliff in a city in northwestern Turkey. And the groom just proposed. He went to the car to get the celebratory food and drinks, and then he heard a scream. He rushed back. Did he? Okay, is that just me being suspicious? It's a sad story, but I'm like, did he? But it's super sad. It's very depressing. So, golly. Speaking of this guy, French daredevil, his luck ran out. He fell off of a Hong Kong high-rise from the 68th floor. This 30-year-old, Remy Lucidi, was climbing the Tregunter Tower complex when he fell, and he's known for extreme sports. He was off this Hong Kong residential high-rise, and he was pronounced dead at the scene. And he apparently told the security guard when he was entering that he was visiting a friend on the 40th floor, and they tried to apprehend him beforehand, but good heavens. I mean, and he's got one of the last pictures where he is, like, apparently on one of these skyscrapers, but golly, that seems like that was avoidable. Just saying, seems like it could have been avoidable. All right, we got a lot more on the way. Joe Biden's punishing Tommy Tuberville. We got 2024 stuff, all this. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
Well, this is why we say there's two standards of justice. If Hunter were a Republican, he'd be in jail by now. You look at all this smoke, and yet the FBI, where's the search warrants? Where's the grand jury? Where's the aggressiveness?
Million-dollar question. I'm glad that he brought it up. I mean, he's been talking about the two tiers of justice for some time now. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of the second hour. That's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. I noticed yesterday, I want to tip you off to this. Yesterday, I was tracking what stories were the top stories that were being shared and pushed on social media that were trending. And the top stories yesterday were polling and DeSantis, right? Today, all the top stories are Trump's plan to save himself. He's down to 4 million cash on hand. All of his PAC money is going towards his legal fees. That's what they're going. So do you see how they're doing this? They're attacking the one and two contenders because I'm going to be real with you. It's a two party. It's a two person primary. Let's be real. Nobody else. It's not going to happen. Sorry, it's not. And I feel confident in saying that, even though it's this early out, it's not going to happen. They're going after the one and two contenders in the Republican primary that they're going to have to go against coming up in 24. They're doing that instead of talking about the insane stuff that has compromised their incumbent. You see what they're doing. They're baiting people into these fights, like the Kamala Harris Department of Education fight. And, you know, I've told you, I'm only going to address like the primary stuff when it gets dumb, because I'm not going to play media's game on this. I've done this too long. I am not playing media's game on this. I'm not going to get led by the nose. I'm not going to be baited. I'm not going to be led around like a toddler. I'm not going to do none of this. So today it's all, today's Trump's day. Yesterday they went after DeSantis. Today's Trump. I mean, everybody, Rolling Stone, New York Times, Politico, Daily Beast, two stories, Politico, AP, NBC, Reuters, Axios, you know, they all sound real conservative, don't they? Yeah. They're all going after that.
No Biden family stuff?
Yeah, no, None of that's trending. Mm-mm. They're going after the scholars All the white progressives are going after the black scholars that were part of the work group that created Florida's history curriculum. You know, that's par for the course for the left. They even went back to the Trump rape trial, Daily Beast, in a story today. Not even kidding you. This is how, I mean, it goes so, it is so ridiculous. There is not a single story about the Hunter stuff that's trending. The closest thing that gets to it is that Hunter Biden told, it's a Daily Mail piece. Hunter Biden told Devin Archer that the Chinese chairman loved him for his last name. It was a posse of godlike Aryan men. That's what he said. That's pretty much it. And then there's a free Beacon piece that's all the way, when you look, it's not maybe an eighth shared as much as this other stuff, about a House Democrat says that Hunter Biden called his father during business meetings. So that's pretty much it. That's all you get. They want to bait you into hurting your own side. And you've got to not like be led into that. And I say this like with the stuff with the Kamala Harris thing. You can like DeSantis and you can like Trump, one or the other or both, without taking hits at your own side. Case in point. So yesterday, I saw this. Matt Gaetz, who had retweeted, so DeSantis had invited Kamala Harris down to Florida, right? Said, yeah, like, come on, let's talk about education, etc. I mean, they were spent all this effort attacking Florida for having the same standards as all these other states, but yet they only want to go after Florida because DeSantis is running for governor, right? And they actually don't even say anything to the College Board that still has this as part of their standard. The whole thing is they were trying to criticize something and say that it did something that it absolutely did not do. I've written a whole piece about it. You can go to the Substack, chapter and verse, and read it. So DeSantis invites Kamala Harris down, and Matt Gaetz retweets the statement and says, imagine being desperate enough to be thirsty for a Kamala visit. First off, that was a very wordy, clunky way of saying it. Gen Z would eliminate the desperation and the thirstiness because it's kind of implied. You know, it's kind of redundant. You don't need to do that. But aside from that, what? Matt Gaetz hits out at his own state, his own, and the governor, because Gaetz has essentially, I know Gaetz is supportive of Trump, but I didn't realize that meant that you had to hit your own side. And this applies to everybody, which I shouldn't have to say. So I had retweeted Gaetz and I said, I think you'd be eager to hit back at the Biden administration after everything they put parents through these last few years, but I guess not. I'm just going to say this. I don't think that someone who dressed up in pink to go stand on the pink carpet for a Barbie premiere should be calling other people desperate or thirsty. I mean, you could have probably come to your own conclusion that there were issues with the film, but I think that you wanted to go and get your picture taken first on the pink carpet and show that you were invited and that you're accepted and all this other stuff and then bitch about it after the fact. Or going to the picnic that the Bidens threw on one of the lawns of the White House and then tweeting about it and putting it up on Instagram and thanking them for it. Again, I didn't realize, you know, I mean, that this goes both ways, okay? Only one of y'all is in a pink suit on the pink carpet. Just saying. I mean, why do you got to hit your own side? You know what I mean? You don't, just because you're for whoever, you don't have to hit at your own side. That doesn't make any sense. I can't stand that. Yeah, he was at the congressional picnic, walking around schmoozing and all that stuff. But, you know, I guess apparently it's desperate to stand up for parents in your state and hit back against an administration that's trying to play the race card on you again. This is what I'm saying. Like, I've defended so many of these damn Republicans against these ridiculous media attacks for over 10 years. And when I see these same Republicans embracing and eagerly, zealously using these same tactics to go at their own side in a godforsaken primary, it makes me way reluctant to ever defend them again. You either are for media bias or you're against media bias. You don't situationally change it during a primary. That's desperate and thirsty. Now, one other point. I want to talk about the SBA stuff. I talked about this when they went at Trump over it, too, in case people got an itch to scratch about that. So I wrote about this last night. The title's Don't Throw the Baby Out with the Bathwater. I like the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America group. I think they do a lot of good work. They also will hit everybody, just so you know. They have one purpose, one mission, one advocacy, Doesn't matter who you are, they will hit you if you are not in that purpose and that advocacy. So they put out a letter yesterday, and this was after one of DeSantis' interviews. And I'm going to go back even to the Trump thing here in a moment. And it was a discussion where he was talking about the number of states that used a very successful bottom-up approach when dealing with life protections, right? And he was asked about a federal ban, and he said that he would always err on the side of life, and he described himself as a pro-life president. So SBA released a statement, and they said, quote, there's a clear consensus for protecting babies in the womb at 15 weeks, et cetera, when they can feel pain. And they said that DeSantis's dismissal of this task is unacceptable to pro-life voters. Now, I think it's hyperbolic to characterize his answer as a dismissal. I mean, in fact, it sounds like, you know, when I listened to the interview and I was reading the transcript, it sounds like he did answer the question. I mean, he sides with life. And I think it's pretty safe to say that a governor who signed a 6-week ban on abortion in his own state would probably sign the same thing should Congress pass it. That's make, you know, now they had called Trump previously morally indefensible because Trump said that he favored a state's rights approach to protecting life. And I thought that was also hyperbolic because now I get it. Some people say that that's the correct constitutional approach to this issue. Everything goes back to the 14th Amendment. And there are other people that say it's the 14th Amendment that actually protects unborn persons. Now, my friends like Andy McCarthy will say, well, it talks about persons born or citizens of the United States. And they specifically cite that word born. So I, and these are not people who are not pro-life. They're talking about the enumerated powers are the enumerated powers. And you believe that they're in the enumerated powers or you don't believe that they're the enumerated powers. And if it's a discussion about clarifying a word in the 14th Amendment, that is a conversation for legislators. And I feel like it's sloppily being used. Again, I am very much about winning. What will help win? This is a debate for legislators on that. And you have to think about it too. I think that slamming someone before speaking to them on the matter actually undermines your interest, especially if there's an opportunity for you to secure an advancement in your interest with a private audience first. So I mean, I fully understand their position. And I think, you know, I think the work that they do is fantastic. But I think that to intimate that others are less predisposed towards protecting life because they favor a different strategy is going to alienate your allies or potential allies. Here's the reality of the situation. You can like it or not. Most Americans approve of abortions, but with a 15-week limitation. Now, in all of the polling on that, it's a very close margin. In the oft-cited poll, it's a 5-point margin. That makes messaging tricky. Because if you go too hard, you're going to lose the independents that are required for electoral victories. And if you go too soft, you are going to lose your base that is required for electoral victory. So you have 12 states that have passed 6-week bans and signed them into law. And you have a number of states that have like 15-week, right? So because Florida signed a 6-week ban and the governor there is termed out governor, is running for president, that has made for the left, they've made him like the avatar of their scare tactic campaign on this, on abortion messaging. So with that, they can simultaneously ding a presidential contender and the Republican Party. So with the same narrative, it's very, you know, it's efficient for them. Democrats tried very, very hard to make the 2022 midterms a referendum on abortion with Roe v. Wade. And then right after, remember, Kane, we talked about this. Lindsey Graham had introduced a federal ban proposal literally 2 months before midterms. And GOP was refining their message and going hardcore on Biden's economy because that was the leading issue in the polls. And Lindsey Graham came out with a federal proposal on abortion. Now, if the goal is to protect life, you don't snatch defeat from the jaws of victory after Roe and give Democrats this fear-mongering narrative that they can use to blast Republicans. Literally, actually, it was less than 2 months before people walked right into the polls. So the GOP is actually simultaneously criticized by the GOP because they either go too far in abortion with 6 or 15-week bans, or they don't go far enough if they favor a state-by-state approach. The suggestion that either of these is soft is dishonest because the disagreement centers on approach, which guarantees the most lasting victory. It's not a disagreement on life. It's a disagreement on which has the most lasting victory. And if you're pro-life, you're trying to maximize the chances of saving lives while negotiating where the public they stand. That is strategy. And it's not unrealistic to say Democrats do not want further restrictions on abortion. It's not unrealistic to say that many moderates or independents can be swayed by progressive fear-mongering on the issue. And it's not unrealistic to say that purple states or districts, that there may exist more of these voters than steadfast advocates for life. It is unrealistic to say that if only Graham's method was implemented, that any issue of opposition would be resolved. And it's unrealistic to scare candidates into silence on the issue so Democrats can outplay him in elections. Now, here's another consideration. Last point. Florida only recently became a red state. It was blue all the way up until 2016. Donald Trump barely won this state, barely by a point. Even after campaigning on a 6-week ban and focusing on parental rights and finessing messaging on abortion as opposition to taxpayer-funded abortion on demand as birth control, Florida eliminated Democrats from every elected statewide office. They flipped Miami-Dade and Palm Beach counties. They cemented a supermajority in their legislature. Messaging and strategy, they're very important. Do not encourage politicians to Leroy Jenkins their messaging on life, please. In a perfect world, we wouldn't even need to have a strategy for or legislation at all. But as it is, the strategy requires a marketable approach that can deliver lasting results, even if it's incremental. So don't assume that someone is opposed to life because they are trying to have a lasting result with that approach. We got Florida Man on the way.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so, good heavens. There's another shark. Golly, why is like constantly with shark stuff? So there's a popular Florida tourist a spot where somebody got bitten by a shark. So if you're not worried about gators in the water in the land, then you got to worry about the sharks in the water off the land. Okay. So a Florida man is recovering after he was attacked by a shark in Manatee County, according to local reports. Sidebar, I don't look at manatees as innocently as I used to. Not after that one story that we had. Not after that one story. This man is described as being in his early 20s. He was bitten in the lower leg by a shark near Bean Point on the north end of Anna Maria Island, according to West Manatee Fire Rescue. After he was attacked, somebody applied a tourniquet, and he was brought to the Manatee County Emergency. Everything's Manatee. You heard what they did, right? Like, you heard what that one manatee did. He killed his brother. You heard how. They had, like, a whole island boy thing going on. Like, those two manatees, they were the manatee version of the island boys. Don't Google it. Anyway, so, I'm not going to be able to continue. Hang on. It's my cold meds. I can't help it. They've had two. The investigation remains ongoing. The condition is unknown. They're uncertain as to what type of shark, et cetera. It's a shark. That's all you need to know. And they said the day before there was a dude surfing a little after 3 p.m. and he was bitten by a shark. So Florida Fish and Wildlife say it's unlikely for somebody to be bitten by a shark in Florida waters, you know, except for these 2 days in a row when someone was bitten by a shark, you know, in Florida waters. So they're just like, you know, be aware. I think people are. I'm just saying. Let's see. I got a couple of other. Oh, why is this trending? Like, this is the third story I've seen about this. They're saying that leprosy, this is Florida. I don't know. It's not Florida Man, but they're saying leprosy could be endemic in Central Florida and researchers are trying to figure out why. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
Isn't this an iguana thing? Those iguanas got leprosy?
I'm not sure about that.
I could be totally wrong, but I swear somebody told me that before. Anyway, it's probably not a scientist. They said that a research letter and journal of emerging infectious diseases, it's the CDC. So they said 81% of the cases of leprosy are reported in Florida. They say it's historically uncommon, but they're like looking into it. In 2015, they blamed armadillos. Remember, they said armadillos carried it. So stick with us. We got a whole other hour on the way.
What's going on? What are you seeing?
Well, we're seeing the same thing, Jose, in clinic. We are, as you said, hospitalizations going up. Let me just start with some good news. We are not seeing anywhere near the dramatic rises that we saw in previous summers or previous years. That's good news. That's because a large part of the population, Jose, has already either been infected and vaccinated or both several times. So what I think people need to know is that I would just put people on alert that when you're in those crowded spaces, think about the cough and the colds, and sometimes many people don't even have any symptoms. A mask can be your best friend.
Oh, he no, it's not. Or we're not doing this again. Shut up. Shut up. Who brought this skirt on MSNBC to sit here and rail on this mask propaganda? Oh, my gosh. I need something to throw. Okay, throw something. This is ridiculous. Stop it. We're not doing this again. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. Oh, no, we're not doing this again. This was, I put this in this one. This was MSNBC, the medical contributor for MSNBC, was saying it's time to bring them out again, especially as schools. You know what? We've already established that they don't work. Shut up. We've established that they don't work. We're not doing this again. I still cannot believe the stuff that, no. My favorite thing, can I just reimagine really quickly, by the way, while everybody tunes back in? Because everybody went to go get the masodi and coffee and all this other stuff. Welcome back to the show, top of the third hour, Dana Lash with you. My favorite thing to do was not, like in places where I had to put it on. And I think it was the last places that got rid of the mask mandate were like, help, like if you went to the dentist or, and that was because it was law. And they did, even if they didn't want to do it. Although I did actually see a doctor when I had to get surgery, which was medically necessary. They were like, we don't give a blank about the mask. Take it off. It's stupid. I love that doctor. He's so great. But I would put it on incorrectly. I would have my nose covered and I would make it as flat as possible to where it didn't cover my face. And then much in the same way that Colin Robinson on What We Do in the Shadows is an energy vampire and how he does purposefully stupid things to feed off the energy of other people, I would actually act like I had no idea what they were talking about if it wasn't on my face properly. I would, and I cannot tell you how many times I did it, and maybe it wasn't the nicest thing I could have done, but I don't care because it wasn't nice to make me pretend that this is actually going to work with doing anything. It was stupid. I don't like to be nice when I'm met with discourteousness. It's just something that I have a lot of problems with, right? It's very, very hard to be courteous in the face of extreme discourtesy or massive propaganda that actually kills people. So I would just wear it where it's like, it would be flat and I'd have it crooked, right? Or I would have it like hanging off my face. And they're like, can you fix your mask? And I'm like, did I ask what? And they're like, no, that's not what we said. I'm like, huh? And just back and forth. It would take like 15 minutes. I'm not joking. It was ridiculous. And then they hated me after that, but I don't care because I felt like I had to participate in absurd theater to highlight their absurdity, you know? My favorite moment with the masks was when I had to go in a Container Store and I was getting just some of the clear things for like storage and stuff. And I'm in my car and I'm getting out of my car and it was summer. This was like one of the first, this was like the summer after the, you know, people started calming down with everything. Get out. Some of the stores were still requiring masks. And there was a woman who was legit in her car by herself. And it was 90 degrees outside with her mask on. Okay. And she waited. It was almost like she thought I was too close to her. And I had like a hat on and my hair back. And it was almost like she thought I was too close to her. And she was afraid she would get germs or something. But she waited till after I went. She had her mask on. And then I saw it was two masks, not one mask. So she was legit in her car with two masks on. Now, I'm not passing judgment on people, you know. And I was like, maybe she has like a, you know, compromised immune system. And I was being real cool. But it was just real weird, you know. And later, when I came out, I was getting my my big clear boxes in the Rubbermaid boxes in the back of my car. And she came out. I kid you not, you guys. She gets in her car. You know what she does? She pulls her mask down, lights up a cigarette. I kid you not. So then I was like, you don't have a compromised immune system. You're a fruitcake. And then I immediately felt like, gosh, why didn't I take why didn't I be aggressive and slow down and try to walk by her? You know, like, why? You guys, everybody's got stories like that, right? Y'all got stories like that. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't even deal. Oh, they're not bringing this back. We're not doing this again. Like, I have a cold right now. It's not coronavirus. And if it was, I don't care. If everybody who works with me knows, if they don't want to come in, they don't got to come in. But it's a summer cold. And I think they honestly have been saying everything's coronavirus. Isn't like the long COVID, haven't they been saying? Oh my gosh, it's crazy. All right, so I think they're also testing to see if we still respond to that stuff. I think some people do. But I know, golly, just is it more and more people, I think, now would resist it. So some of the other things that we're following, we've been looking over, going over all of the Devin Archer, all of the fallout for that. And I wanted to, let me talk about this thing. It's an issue with culture. And it was a Wall Street Journal piece. Let me share with you the headline. Kane, are you ready for this?
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. It says, quote, "The lazy girl job is in right now. Here's why. Rather than lean in," which is a stupid phrase, "young workers say they want jobs that can be done from home, come with a cool boss, and end at 5 p.m. sharp." Wow, I want $1 million and a puppy, too. So they talk about this chick. She works as a freelance digital marketer. She calls it a lazy girl job. Now people have been like using that as like the standard measure of what they want to do. She said she used to work 10-hour days as an environmental tech. Now she logs 3 hours a day promoting makeup and skincare products online. Look, y'all cannot be doing this. Every damn broad out there cannot be influencing with makeup and skincare products, because then all y'all are going to be doing are influencing each other with makeup and skincare products. Stop it. So they talk about hashtag lazy girl job. It can be done from home. They want to earn between $60,000 and $80,000 a year and basically not work hard. That's just lazy. That's just laziness. And so many of these people, I think, talk about influencers. They said 6 in 10 workers say they're putting in less than maximum effort, according to a Gallup Global Workplace survey. They looked at 120,000 working adults. Kane is dying over here. They said that men have posted to more anonymous platforms like the anti-work community on Reddit. They said that hustle culture is toxic at times. They are trying to brainwash subsequent generations into being lazy, i.e. being easy to control. Yep. That's what this is about. This isn't about lazy. This is about they want to convince you to be lazy. They want to convince you that any kind of extra work is just put upon you. They want you to be easy to control. They want you to be dependent upon the federal government. This is about being dependent on the state. This is about making you governable. And by governable, I mean controllable. Some have said younger women are using it almost in a way that they don't understand the damage that they could do. Why would you also brand yourself a lazy girl? And hustle culture isn't toxic. It's called ambition. Ambition's getting a bad rap from lazy people who want to convince you that it's better to be dependent upon the government. Like, I love that there's a meme out there and it shows two lions. One lion's in a cage and the other lion is chilling with his lioness out on the, Serengeti. And it said one of these lions has everything provided for them. They have their food provided for them, their water provided for them, their health care provided for them. They want for nothing in life. And the other is free. That's the difference. I mean, it is, it's weird. And so all these people, I think that one of the downsides of lockdown, and ultimately I think that was also, if I really wanted to be a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist, I'm not saying that I'm being this, and I'm not saying that I'm not. You know, getting everybody to stay in lockdown was like a way to get everyone to, for a couple of years, flirt with this idea of living like that permanently, staying at home permanently, living at home, working at home permanently. Now, I work at home, and that's just the nature of my job, but that's not, you know, at all the reality of jobs today. And you have to fight for work-life balance. But these people, I really think that that's what the downside of lockdown is, that people decided, oh no, we want to do this all the time. We want to do it all the time. So now they do this lazy girl stuff. I think this is bad. They always say that the biggest, I guess, lazy girl jobs are influencers. And this is all, again, stupid social media and TikTok. Everybody, I want to sit here and influence you about makeup. Have you seen some of this? It's stupid. Or I see people who talk about makeup stuff that, you know, some people have known since we were like 12. Stop. Not everybody can be an influencer. Not everyone is good at being an influencer. Everyone thinks that because they have the opportunity that they can go and do it, but it actually requires some skill. And I don't know. I can't stand it. I don't even hang out on Instagram anymore. I have to force myself to post on Instagram. Are you on Instagram a lot, Kane?
No, not often at all.
Actually. I don't know why. I used to like it and now I hate it. Because I go and it's like everybody I know is trying to push something. That's why I really, because we've had people who've tried to pay me to post on Instagram. And they've tried to like, oh, like put this up on Instagram, put this up. We should do this. And I'm just like, I think I would rather cut all my arms and legs off than do that. That sounds like hell. I hate it to death. And it sounds like more work for me. And I don't feel like doing that. I don't want to sit here and post about a prod. I cannot stand it. I hate it so bad. It feels so fake. Like people using stuff and they're pushing it on you. Or everyone has home goods that they push on you. And it's all, everybody gets the same junk that's made in China. I saw some chick that was pushing some like home goods stuff. And then I think I saw it like on Amazon or something made in China. And it was like a third of the price what they were pushing it for. It's so stupid. It's so dumb. I can't stand it. And if people want to make their money like that, that's fine. I am going to judge because I can. It's just, I can't stand it. I just can't go. I can't hardly go on. Everything is so curated and it's so fake. It's just more opportunity to be fake. And that's what all of this is. They want you to be vapid. They want you to be dependent. They want you to be controllable. And they want you to need them. The government.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So CVS is cutting a number of jobs, 5,000 of them to be exact. This comes from Boston Globe. It says that they are sharpening its focus on healthcare services, and so they're planning to lay off about 5,000 new jobs in a cost-cutting strategy. In a memo that they sent to employees, they said that it would be a once-in-a-generation transformation of healthcare. It said they would The most affected by the cuts will primarily work in corporate positions, according to the executives. They don't expect customer-oriented roles in like individual pharmacies, clinics, or stores to be part of their plan, which is good. So it looks like it's just they're looking at their executive workforce, honestly. So that's not okay. All right. As long as you're not like, you know, because customers need the stuff that's at CVS. I don't know what it is. I love CVS. They got everything. Like, what do they not have? Everything. Candy, they got it. You want cotton balls? They got it. You want like a weird type of honey? They got it. They got the weird cough drops too. All your stick stuff, they got it. I'm just saying. Also, San Francisco, they removed that giant brightly lit X sign. They said it was a permit violation, but I kind of like how the Babylon Bee said it. San Francisco demands Elon Musk remove the bright sign as it's disturbing the people trying to poop on the street. I mean, they want to poop under the cover of darkness. So, you know, it's like really hard to do that when the giant X is just lighting them up. Workers dismantled the giant X. I think it's hysterical. You got needles and feces all over the street, but I'll be damned if you put an X on here. There was a dude who recorded. He was apparently in an apartment building across from where Twitter was, and it was pretty bright. And it was like a strobe. Like it was. So, okay, I get it, but it's kind of neat, though. It's a little old school. You know what I mean? Like an old school sign. Like, you know, there's something about it I like. Let's see. It's a country music star that's getting in the news, not for something stupid. So you got Craig Morgan. And I mean, like, non-progressive, because it's always progressive country artists that are getting in. They said that Craig Morgan is re-enlisted. He says the military's fallen victim to politicization, et cetera, et cetera. And so country music star Craig Morgan decided he stepped away from military after 17 years of service. And now he's re-enlisting. So that's very cool for him. See, look, small towns and stuff, right? I'm just saying. Yeah, it's good stuff comes out of country. And I don't like the Maren Morrises and the progressives that they're trying to use to take over and make it all woke and ideological. Just stop. There's a potential cancer breakthrough. A groundbreaking pill annihilates all types of solid tumors in an earlier study. It's the pill works by killing a mutated protein that helps cancers to repair. Scientists said that they can use it as a standalone therapy or alongside of treatments. It's a molecule that has a very long name of letters and numbers. Interesting. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store next.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
But significantly, the members of this church saw what could be, unburdened by what had been.
Is that an old clip?
No, that's not an old clip, Kame. That is new.
Wow.
That is, she is burdened by the same talking points. That is for sure. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this third hour. That's a new clip. Our friend Larry spotted that one. She's unburdened by, speech writers. She is cognizant of the fact that she says that nonstop, right? In almost every speech, correct?
Yeah, everyone.
Wouldn't you feel weird? I just know that when I give speeches, all my speeches are different. And sometimes even if I'm giving a speech, sometimes I'll be asked to give a speech on the same topic as one I've given previously. And even when I have the same statistics and I'm going over some of the same statistics, if it's Second Amendment stuff, it's weird to repeat even that, even though that's the fact. You know what I mean? I can't even imagine repeating something that's just a rhetoric, just to repeat it. It's weird, right? It's weird. I guess she doesn't. It's like phoning it in. So far, by the way, I don't think that she's accepted DeSantis's invitation to go to Florida and talk to any of the educators, any of the scholars and civil rights activists that put together the new standards, that were crafting the new standards. So I don't think she's, because she took a taxpayer funded plane to go down there to Jacksonville. Was it last week? To complain and rail and make false accusations because she clearly hadn't read it. And now where's she at? Is she going to go and take the, she can actually justify a taxpayer funded flight with this. She could actually justify it. Now, I'm just wondering, because we got the House, that's 6 week break. It's going to be kind of quiet in DC for a little bit, but I'm curious. I am wondering whether or not what's going to happen from all of this stuff with Devin Archer. I think while Republicans control the House, and it looks like they're doing this, it seems like it's a done deal already, they are going to have an impeachment inquiry into all of this. I love this. Listen to this. This is audio somebody 11, because the goalposts kept moving. Well, he didn't talk to... Wait a minute. First off, he didn't even know that Hunter had taken the position. Let's start from the beginning. He didn't know Hunter took the position. Didn't ever talk to his son about business. Okay, well, then I never talked to any of his business associates. Okay, well, maybe I said hi to the business associates. Okay, well, maybe we talked about the weather. Then there's dinners and phone calls. This is audio soundbite 11. Representative Himes trying to defend Biden. This is where it's gone now. So that's the timeline. Here's this.
Interesting about the Biden thing, the Republicans, it's just this internal primal urge to visit retribution on the Democrats. And the problem is they can't find a fact. So look, is there problematic questions about Hunter Biden? And I said something that shouldn't be controversial, which is that if you committed a crime, you should be held accountable. But have they pointed to anything to suggest that Joe Biden engaged in corrupt behavior? No. And on the contrary, Hunter Biden's business problems partner said, he was on some phone calls talking about the weather, exchanging pleasantries. Is that in the category of, presidential family members that are problematic? Billy Carter, Hugh Rodham, maybe it's in that category, but it is sure and absolutely not a crime. So,
yeah, he was, he was engaged in corrupt behavior. I mean, he was on some of the phone calls with the business partners, but it wasn't corrupt.
I have a question.
Well, then why lie about it? Yeah, Kane.
Did we not have the paper trail of all the money going to all these LLCs?
Yep.
and even Joe Biden receiving money. I don't understand.
And even what's more, all of the suspicious activity reports from the banks.
Yes. And not and the IRS and all of that stuff, the investigation yep. that was thwarted.
Yep.
How do you go on TV and say we've got no evidence and there's nothing? It's a nothing burger. How do you say that?
If you're a charlatan, they're all acting.
Good God.
That's all what this is. They're all acting. It's so goofy. So that's I again did what one president was indicted for doing. Telling you what. Whew. And they're going to, and honestly, when the transcript comes out, because you weren't able to be in there in the room when Archer was talking to members of Congress. So I guess what the transcript's supposed to be released this week. But even then, with all the stuff that we see already and the receipts, I mean, let me find this. They've had, for instance, they had all kinds of emails. Oh, like this one right here. The weather. So apparently, according to, you know, this testimony, and then apparently this is backed up by some of the emails from Hunter Biden's laptop. He apparently had written one email saying, "I am sitting here with my father. We would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled. Tell the director I would like to resolve this now before it gets out of hand, and now means tonight." And they're talking to, I guess, apparently someone. This is Rosemont Seneca with the Chinese or CCP-backed. Because they said in Z, and that's Zhang. That's what we talked about this before. He says, "If I get a call or text from anyone involved in this other than you or the chairman, I'll make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge, you will not regret my following decision. I'm sitting here waiting for the call with my father." Come on. Man, he was really feeling himself, wasn't he? They were just throwing it around like they could do whatever. They could do whatever. So basically, yeah, we demand this money or we're gonna really hurt you. That sounds like it's more than about the weather.
Yeah.
It's more, I mean, here is, I mean, they got his business partner confirms this. The emails back this up. The text messages back this up. And here his dad is sitting right there with him, but he didn't know. This is like us saying, "No, we just talked about wedding plans and yoga." Remember with Hillary? Man, that's pretty something. Someone was like, "Well, what if his dad was in an office at the time? Why don't you?" Yeah, but that still doesn't, what does that have to do with Biden saying that he never knew about any of this and he never talked about any of this and he didn't talk to any of the associates and he wasn't privy to the what was going on with his business? Clearly that was a lie. Shut up. Quit trying to grab a weak read. Not going to happen. It was when he was VP, when he was out of office, and when he was in the office as president. He was merching out all of this stuff. So you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. And then, yeah, he did coordinate, but it was just to say hi. Or, I mean, he wasn't involved in corrupt behavior. I mean, it's all totally fine. I don't believe any of these people. There was one thing that Kane noted, too. I just want to put this up here. So Kane sent this link. Now, this is based on a Ukrainian news agency. Now, I like to think that a lot of the stuff that comes out of Ukraine, everybody is propaganda. But there was this point when Viktor Shokin had claimed that he was poisoned with mercury and grease. And apparently he wanted investigations into his firing. He also apparently had personally petitioned Volodymyr Zelensky as to look in, you know, to look into it. He was appealing to law enforcement authorities about the commission of criminal acts against him. No investigative actions were carried out, apparently. And then he appealed to Zelensky, according to his lawyer. And they said that the FBI registered a criminal proceeding about pressure on Shokin by Biden. And they were looking at all of this stuff. But here's the thing. It said the timeline for this, the lawyer said that there's every reason to provide Shokin with protection in connection with information published by him about Biden's pressure. He said, quote, Shokin's life could be in danger. The Ukraine should initiate protection through law enforcement agencies, et cetera, et cetera. So we have this story because January 2020, he apparently was poisoned with, or he stated in January 2020, he was poisoned with mercury 5 months ago when he was in Greece. And he said, quote, I don't have any obvious enemies who I can blame for this. Of course, one of the versions, but this version requires investigation, is that Biden was somehow involved in some way in these issues. And then, can you play this? Because this was when he was in, this was just like, what, in July, last month, July 13th, when he was in Helsinki. Listen to what Biden says here. And he's talking about he's talking about Prigozhin. I can't say this guy's name. Prigozhin, during his visit to Finland. Listen to this.
I think that determining what happens to Prigozhin, what happens to Vilnius, what happens when we discuss this in Vilnius, is God only knows what he's likely to do. Well, I'm not even sure. We're not even sure where he is and what relationship he has. If I were he, I'd be careful what I ate. I'd be keeping my eye on my menu.
So Prigozhin he's this Russian oligarch. You know, he could be talking about, you know, any number. I don't know. It just all seems real. What is your theory? You got your tinfoil going over there.
It's sus, bro. I think that it's really suspicious that we're talking, this is a few years ago with Shokin, and now Biden just sort of lays it out when he was in Finland earlier in July this year.
And Prigozhin is that Wagner Group guy. So he's talking about Putin.
Right. And I have another theory about that, which we won't get into. But I think that it's highly possible that there was some sort of involvement here. But again...
So you're saying because there's usually it's people getting poisoned by eating something. So you're saying... I mean, that's like what Russians do. He's not Russian.
No, he's not Russian. But I think he looks at that and says, wow, that's pretty effective.
I don't know. That might be a stretch. But it is weird, though, that Shokin said that.
Could be just coincidental, but I don't know. Any more these days?
Yeah, as Juan notes, Biden's Irish. Don't forget, he's Irish.
Right. He may be Irish, but he's not stupid.
That's what he said. That's what he said. I'm just saying.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Eventually, this was going to come to a neighborhood near you. Having someone embedded is a good start. That came from the Secretary of Homeland Security. We want to thank him. But I've been very clear on what we need. We need to control the border. We need to call a state of emergency, and we need to properly fund this national crisis.
Wow. Well, I mean, he kind of changed his tune there relatively quick. That's Eric Adams, mayor of New York City, because previously he was very, it's a sanctuary and all that stuff. And he's a little bit more, I mean, he's still on the left, but he was a little bit more moderate than some of the other Democrats were. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Yeah. I wonder, because they're going to have to, I mean, he's the mayor of one of the largest city in the country. So it's not like you can ignore. Media can't ignore his call on that. It's not been anywhere. They're all focused on trying to do I was looking at some of the latest. They're all focused on trying to do everything that they can to showcase whether it's arguments between Republicans or polling on Republicans, chances, etc. They want to focus on that as opposed to the Hunter Biden stuff and this bubbling disagreement here on immigration. You have Eric Adams facing off against the administration. You would think that Kamala Harris would, I mean, she could probably just hop on the train and go up there and make a speech about immigration from New York. I don't think she'll do that, though. It's a lot easier to complain about something that doesn't exist with curriculum in Florida. But I was looking at some of the images. What is it? They've had the Roosevelt Hotel. It's actually in Midtown, not very far from where a lot of the networks are located. They have all these people who've come into the country illegally, sleeping outside, waiting until they can get rooms. And coming across the border, you're still got, what, over 3,000 a day? Yeah, they have 60,000 plus They call it a refugee crisis. It's not a refugee crisis. These are not all asylum seekers. These are people who entered illegally. Not everyone can claim asylum. That's not how this works. And they have 56,000 illegal entrants, around 200 makeshift sites. Thousands more are in the shelter system. And buses keep arriving. Well, you said that you were a sanctuary city. I thought you would be prepared, you know, because you said sanctuary. I just thought you would be prepared for that. I can't imagine, like, they show a storefront and people sleeping right in front of the storefront. You know, barricades and stuff put up. And they're given tickets with numbers on them. And they go outside and they call and they go into the hotel and maybe they can get a place to stay or not. I mean, this is just wild. You wouldn't have this issue if you controlled the border. Wouldn't have the issue if you controlled the border. So now Eric Adams is like, it's a problem. Enough of the New York City Democrats are affected that now they're pushing on Adams. So Adams like, okay, because they can't. He's trying to get the federal government to help. The city itself now is going to start spending some money. They have to. They're spending, they said, $4.3 billion to try and slow it down in New York. Welcome to what Texas and Arizona and New Mexico and all these other, and border states have had to deal with for this entire time. How much money that Texas is spending. Texas is spending billions too. And has been for, you know, how many, a decade now over. Adams was like, why isn't this considered a disaster? He's right. No one's coordinating the national effort. Interesting indeed. All right, we got today in stupidity. Kane, what do we got?
Yeah, why Biden is suing Texas. That's weird.
Yeah, and he's in Delaware on vacation. He's at the beach right now.
All right, our vice president, boy, does she say some dumb things.
Oh, my gosh,
more? But she was confronted with the idea that the polls out there, she's polling as the worst VP ever. Listen to her response here.
Lowest approval rating of any vice president. I'm curious how much of a role, if any, that you feel race and gender play in that.
Well, there are polls that also say I have great approval ratings. I think
really?
The point that...
What?
I haven't
what
seen
ones?
Those polls.
I haven't seen them either. I'm looking at my window of notes here. All my windows of notes, I don't see any. None at all. Folks, that does it for us tonight. Make sure you subscribe to the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on YouTube and Facebook. Like and subscribe. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.